The Pat Kenny Show
on News Talk with Mastercard.
When Michael Griffith was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa, a rare degenerative eye disease, there was no information on the condition and no hope of any cure. Now, this was unacceptable to Michael's fighting spirit, so he began his exceptional life's work driving research and representing the patient voice of rare diseases. Freshly returned from Brussels, where he was awarded the Lifetime Achievement Award at the Eurordis Black Pearl Awards, Michael, who's co-founder of Fighting Blindness, founder of Deborah Ireland, the medical research charities group, EPOSI, and Rare Disease Ireland. He is with me in studio. Michael, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Nice to be on your show.
It's an extraordinary story because you got this award and it brooks no argument. It was really well deserved.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Pat. It was a lovely experience. There was a... It was very, very well organized in Brussels last Tuesday, and there was a large crowd there, a lot of whom I had met before many years ago in the course of my work in Europe. And as I say, it was very professionally presented. And
you were a deserving winner, and quibbles about that. Yeah. But let's go back in time to your first intimations that you had something wrong with your eyesight.
Yes, well, as a matter of fact, what happened was my father was diagnosed with RP, and because it's a genetic condition, the rest of the family were called in and we were tested, and myself and another brother had it. That's 2 out of 6. And it's actually all over the family, my aunts, uncles, cousins, and now, unfortunately, 2 of my children have it. And,
What is the impact? Typically, at what age does it become manifest? And then what is the impact on sight?
Well, our condition is a late onset condition. So you don't really begin to experience problems until your mid-40s, that kind of time, you know. And then it gradually gets worse over a long period of time. And I worked until I was 63, 64. I'm now 74. So I was able to work. Now, it did begin to affect me by the time I was finishing work. But it's only kind of in the last 10 years or so, it's really badly affected me. But it's quite bad now. I can't read at all. Obviously, I can't drive. I haven't driven actually since the beginning of the 2001, I think. And, lots of other things I can't.
But it hasn't stopped your gallop.
It hasn't stopped my gallop. But I used to love to travel, on my own. I was very independent kind of character, I can't do that anymore, so.
Now, you obviously, being the kind of guy you are, you decided to try and find out what is this, what causes it, and could there be a cure? So research into the genetic basis for it was one of your targets. But back in the day, when you first knew that you would be affected by this, not much in the way of genetic research.
No, very little, actually. And I was lucky. I bumped into an Indian researcher who was working in the UK at an international meeting in Helsinki in 1984. And we managed to find ourselves having a very, very long kiwi sandwich together. And he gave me a crash course on genetics, and he inspired me so much with the potential of genetics that I went into that restaurant not knowing anything about genetics and came out and on fire with enthusiasm to get research done in Ireland.
Now, the pioneers in Ireland at that time in Trinity College, Professor David McConnell.
Yeah, absolutely. We went in to see Dave, and Shomi came over to see him because Shomi knew him slightly.
This is the Indian guy you met.
The Indian guy, yes. Dave was a wonderful character. Anybody else would have thrown us out, he encouraged us, and we gave him £10,000, I think, at the time, and he got Professor Jane Farrar, or Jane Farrar as she was then, who had just qualified with her basic degree, and persuaded her to do our postgrad in in researching into RP.
And there was a breakthrough in indicating which genes actually gave rise to this condition.
That's right. Well, you see, the Jane's research was very an initial type of research, and then subsequently we were able to give them a substantial amount of money over a three-year period, £100,000, which in the 80s was a lot of money. And in fact, we also persuaded our US sister foundation to give them $500,000 over a five-year period. So they were very well funded for that time. And they paid back, you know, within 4 years, they had discovered the first gene that was ever discovered for RP and anywhere in the world. And
is it rhodopsin? Is that
rhodopsin? Yes, yeah, yeah. And that was a huge, huge breakthrough. There's now about 260 or something like genes, but you know. Yeah.
And in terms of the possible cure down the road, I mean, has it advanced over the years? The possibility?
It has, absolutely, Pat. Yes, I mean, in fact, there's a gene therapy on the market now, both in the US and in Europe, for one form of retinal degeneration. And I have no doubt that that will begin to spread out into the other forms in the not too distant future.
Now, you started fighting blindness.
Yes.
Yeah. How did that come about?
Well, I was attending the Eye and Ear Hospital, the research foundation there, and I was speaking to Dr. Jane Maloney, who was running the research foundation at the time. And she suggested that I would get in touch with the British RP Society, and I did. And they put me in touch with everybody that they had on their books who was living in Ireland. So I contacted some of them, and in particular, I contacted a lovely man called Tom O'Neill, who lives up in Balbriggan. And Tom had some experience in working with the organizations for visually impaired, so he knew his way around. So the two of us called a meeting in Dublin in February of 1983, and that was the beginning of it. And
been going ever since.
Yeah,
from strength
been going
to strength.
Since, yeah, yeah.
You're not inward looking in terms of your own condition, because you are also thoughtful of the people who have other rare conditions which don't get the attention that more common mm-hmm. conditions get.
Yeah. Well, you see, I also was involved in setting up Debra Ireland, which is the charity for EB, or epidermolysis bullosa, or the butterfly condition. And myself and my wife were instrumental in getting that up and running. So I was conscious from that stage of other rare conditions.
Why did you get involved in epidermolysis?
Well, three of my children have a form of EB. And I'm lucky that they don't have the most serious form, but it is a serious form, and they do suffer a lot. So we decided we had to do something about it.
And you never seem to get the impression from you, Michael, that you feel unfortunate with all of these afflictions.
Yeah, well, look, we weren't the luckiest in the world with our genes, you know, but. You know, you have to look on the good side of things. You know, we have five beautiful grandchildren now, and none of them, as far as I know, have any genetic defects. So, mind you, none of them partners were all from outside Ireland. So maybe that had something to do with it, widening the gene pool.
So then your concern widened to include other people with rare conditions.
Yes, we did. Because... it became very obvious at an early stage that working together with other disease organizations, you could achieve far more. And we got to meet some of these people through the genetics department in Trinity initially. And we just got together to see what we could do together in Rare Disease Ireland.
And how many, or how few rather, people suffering from a particular disease would qualify it for that rare disease tag?
Well, the definition of a rare disease is 1 in 5,000. That's the European definition, or the typically European definition would be 2 in 10,000. Don't ask me why. But it's 1 in 5,000. But then they have ultra rare diseases as well, you know, which are a much rarer. The RP now would be a rare disease, but You know, there are something like 8,000 genetic diseases altogether, and some of them...
You might only have one or two in the whole country.
Some of them you wouldn't have in the country at all, you know.
Yeah.
So they're ultra rare, you know. Yeah. So it's a big problem because, as you can see, you know, even within one disease like RP, there are something like 6,000 to 8,000. There are 260 genes, so you can imagine if you get an ultra rare disease, you know how difficult it is. It might be to find a solution because you could have a number of different genes involved, even in an ultra rare disease. You know, so it's a huge problem. It's an extraordinary.
It is
problem.
Needle in a haystack.
It's an absolute
stuff. The human genome is so enormous. If there's only one that's slightly defective.
That's
and of course, some genes may not be as they should be, but not having any manifest effect.
That's
so
right.
When you compare two people and they have different gene configurations, they both may be functioning quite normally, but there's something happening that is not apparent.
That's right. That's right. Well, sometimes if you have one of a pair of genes, you know, we all have genes in the pairs, and if you have one gene which isn't working properly, the other one would compensate for that. And the problem arises then when you have two genes which are not working properly, two of the same gene are not working properly. That's a recessive condition, and then you have to try and replace that gene, and that's what they've done with the gene therapy that they've been successful in doing in the US and in Europe. But then there's the dominant condition, which my condition is a dominant condition, which is more complicated again because you need to knock out the dominant gene before you put in a replacement gene, because if you don't, the replacement gene will just be
dominated by the dominant one.
Correct. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
But what does this award mean, Michael, the Euroordis Black Pearl Award?
Well, it's a great honour, Pat, you know. I mean, it's a huge honour. I mean, I was absolutely chuffed the other night, excuse me, in Brussels. I'm not a big person for kind of awards and all that kind of thing. I'm a very, roll up your sleeves and get on, do the work, get it done, you know. And I'm creative, you know. I like to see what I have done, I'm not really one of those people like say, oh, you know, I've done this.
But it is testament to your work.
It
is
a great thing. It is, and it's really, it was a lovely experience because, you know, I had so many people clapping me on the back, and you know, and so much love, and you know, you'd want to be a very strange person if you didn't really enjoy a night like that, you know. So it was huge.
Well, congratulations once again, Michael, for winning that award, a Lifetime Achievement Award. Michael Griffith, thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Pat.